Tonight, the death of Prince Philip and the famous words from the Queen. Prince Philip passing away at the age of 99, 2 months before his 100th birthday. Bells tolling 99 times in his honor tonight in London. What Queen Elizabeth famously said about her husband and what Prince Philip said about his wife. Also tonight, Princes William and Harry on their grandfather. Here at home tonight, the alarming numbers, more than 75,000 new cases reported of the coronavirus for 2 days in a row now. Tonight, the hotspots here in the U.S. Also, could there be more trouble in the supply for the Johnson & Johnson one-shot vaccine? And Pfizer tonight, what they're now asking for when it comes to children. The trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, the medical examiner who performed the autopsy on George Floyd, taking the stand and what he revealed. News coming in tonight on Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz, already under federal investigation, what we've now learned in the House. The volcano erupting in the Caribbean tonight, mass evacuations underway, ash shooting several miles into the air. Evacuees getting on cruise ships, but only the vaccinated? The controversy tonight. We're also tracking severe storms set to hit in this country, dangerous thunderstorms and possible tornadoes. Also, some Boeing MAX jets now grounded yet again. And the flight this weekend on Mars.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here as we near the end of another week together. Those alarming new numbers tonight on the virus in the U.S. We also have news on the Johnson & Johnson and the Pfizer vaccines. But we are going to begin tonight with the world, bidding farewell to Prince Philip, the husband of Queen Elizabeth, passing away just 2 months shy of his 100th birthday. Tonight here, the famous words from the Queen about her husband. He was the longest-serving spouse of a British monarch in history, 4 children, the grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Queen Elizabeth has said he has been my strength and stay all these years. It was Prince Philip who famously walked with William and Harry at Diana's funeral. And tonight, the portrait of a prince after he stepped back from public life just a couple of years ago. Tonight, what President Biden said today, his message from the U.S. and the images tonight, all of those visits with American presidents. And we hear from Princes William and Harry, too. And in the U.K., like the U.S., a long year in this pandemic and now loss. But celebration, too, tonight of a man who was always at the Queen's side. ABC's foreign correspondent James Longman leading us off tonight at Buckingham Palace in London.
Tonight in London, 99 tolls at Westminster Abbey for Prince Philip's 99 years. Queen Elizabeth's husband, the longest-serving royal spouse in British history, died at Windsor Castle earlier today. In COVID-safe tradition, masked palace aides presented the announcement. It is with deep sorrow that Her Majesty the Queen announces the death of her beloved husband, it said. The royal family join with people around the world in mourning his loss. His death comes at a time of great struggle already. More than a year in this pandemic, there will be no crowds, but flowers and cards have made their way to palace gates. Thoughts are especially with the Queen, who has now lost her companion of more than 73 years. Tonight, a longtime friend of the Duke.
What will his loss mean for the Queen?
It'll be an enormous loss. The best way I can think of putting it is that he wore the trousers in the family in order that the Queen could wear the crown. He was there to deal with all the family stuff in order that she could be the monarch.
He was born a prince, but it was far from a fairy tale childhood. His family fled war and revolution in Greece when he was just a baby. He would grow up and join the Royal Navy, and as a handsome young cadet, Philip captivated the future Queen when she was just a teenager. In 1947, she was 21 and he 26, they would marry. In public, always walking 2 paces behind the Queen, but in private, Elizabeth's equal partner, a playful father to his 4 children, a grandfather, a great-grandfather to future kings. A stiff upper lip, but he knew how difficult it was to join the royal family. It was famously Philip who would reach out to Diana, hoping to help her navigate her marriage to Prince Charles. And after Diana's death, walking with William and Harry behind her coffin. He was a keen sportsman, full of energy and ideas, and in the early days he was seen as a radical outsider. He had a sense of humour and at times was criticised for his lack of tact and comments that were deemed insensitive.
I think that the main lesson that we've learnt is that tolerance is the one essential ingredient of any happy marriage. And you can take it from me that the Queen has the quality of tolerance and abundance.
Tributes are pouring in tonight from around the world. President Biden sending deepest condolences from the American people.
His bravery serving in World War II, as well as his being a champion of the environment, as well as the charitable things he set up. So we really do express our condolences for extraordinary life. 99 years old, he never slowed down at all, and which I admire the devil out of.
Prince Philip at the Queen's side on so many visits with American presidents. At Buckingham Palace with JFK and Jackie Kennedy in 1961. With the Reagans at their California getaway in 1983. At the White House and on the field at Camden Yards with George H.W. Bush and Barbara. To see the Orioles play the Oakland A's in 1991. And visits with the Obamas too at Windsor Castle in 2016. And tonight in the UK, Prime Minister Boris Johnson speaking for all Britons.
We give thanks as a nation and a kingdom for the extraordinary life and work of Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh.
Prince Philip will be remembered as a man dedicated to service to the British people and for more than seven decades to his Queen.
He has quite simply been my strength and stay all these years, and I and his whole family owe him a debt greater than he would ever claim or we shall ever know.
The world paying tribute tonight, James Longman live at Buckingham Palace, where tonight we know, James, that mourners have been paying tribute to the Prince and to the Queen, really, all day long. And Philip had been there with the Queen through so many challenges, public and personal. And we, of course, know that recent interview with Harry and Meghan making global headlines. And they've just released a message about Harry's grandfather tonight.
Yeah, David. Well, on the funeral, we know that it won't be a state funeral. It'll be a private service, and that'll take place at Windsor. As for Meghan and Harry, well, they've released a statement. They've updated the Archwell website with a tribute to Prince Philip, saying he'll be greatly missed. Thank you for your service. Now, it's unclear whether or not they're going to make it here for the wedding. Of course, for the funeral, there'll be complications with regards to COVID and Meghan's pregnancy. But I think after all the trials and tribulations over the last few weeks, people here really very much want to see this family reunited in support of their queen.
It would send a message. All right, James Longman leading us off in London tonight. James, thank you. Meantime, back here at home this evening and the coronavirus pandemic in this country and the alarming new numbers tonight, the daily case count now topping 75,000 new cases 2 days in a row now. And authorities say they are now seeing more cases than ever among the young in this country. Also tonight, Pfizer is now asking to extend the emergency use authorization of its vaccine to children ages 12 to 15. All states also now bracing for a dramatic drop in their supply of the Johnson & Johnson one-shot vaccine next week. And across the country, the numbers tonight, 103,468,000 have received at least one dose. That's 40% of all adults now. ABC's Whit Johnson from New York.
Tonight, with new COVID cases topping 75,000 2 days in a row, the federal government promising to surge resources to growing hotspots. States like Michigan, where hospital admissions have jumped more than 30% over the past week.
It's Michigan and the Midwest today. And tomorrow or next week, it could be the Northeast or the South or another part of our country.
The governor pleading for more vaccines to fight back against the variants. The Biden administration sending response teams and testing supplies, but no extra doses.
What we should be doing right now in places like Michigan is we should be surging tests, surging vaccinations, helping those states get over this.
Many states already bracing for a plunge in doses of the Johnson & Johnson single-shot vaccine by nearly 85% next week. But federal officials say despite inconsistent distribution, they still expect the company to meet its goal.
Johnson & Johnson has also reiterated its commitment to provide at or near 100 million vaccine doses by the end of May.
And tonight, after a temporary pause at a handful of vaccination sites from Colorado to North Carolina, following reports of a small number of mild adverse reactions, the CDC finding no safety issues related to the J&J vaccine. And now there's new hope that younger teens could start getting vaccinated before fall. Today, Pfizer asking the FDA to extend authorization of its vaccine for 12 to 15-year-olds after the company reported it was safe and 100% effective.
Right now, COVID-19 vaccines are being offered to most folks over 16 or 18, But that means the vast majority of children are not eligible for a vaccine yet. Children need to be careful. They need to wear their mask and socially distance.
The CDC tracking clusters of cases tied to youth sports. The virus hitting high school basketball player Zach Darris in Illinois, though it's not clear where he got infected.
I had the fever at first, and then when it really like hit me that I had it is when I lost my taste, lost my smell.
Really important to keep in mind as we move forward on this. And we've been reporting here on that human error, that mix-up of ingredients at a Baltimore plant, making the Johnson & Johnson one-shot vaccine. Those doses never went out. But tonight there's actually new reporting that more doses of the vaccine could actually be in jeopardy as well.
David, after millions of doses were reportedly ruined, the New York Times now says another 62 million unfinished doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine are now in question until it can be determined whether they are also contaminated. They have not been shipped out yet, and that plant is still awaiting FDA authorization before it can deliver any doses. David?
All right, Whit Johnson on the virus tonight. Whit, thank you, and we'll see you and Lindsay here this weekend. In the meantime, we turn next tonight to the trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin. The medical examiner who performed the autopsy on George Floyd taking the stand today and what he revealed about Floyd's death. ABC's Alex Perez in Minneapolis again tonight.
Today, the medical examiner who performed the autopsy on George Floyd testifying Floyd had very severe underlying heart disease at the time he struggled with the officers and came under the knee of Derek Chauvin.
The law enforcement subdual restraint and the neck compression was just more than Mr. Floyd could take by virtue of that those heart conditions.
Dr. Andrew Baker's testimony providing an opening for the defense, which argues heart disease and drug use led to Floyd's death.
In your opinion, both the heart disease as well as the history of hypertension and the drugs that were in his system played a role in Mr. Floyd's death?
In my opinion, yes.
The prosecution, quick to follow up.
Those other contributing conditions are not conditions that you consider direct causes. Is that true?
They are not direct causes of Mr. Floyd's death. That's true. They're contributing causes.
And in terms of manner of death, you found then, and do you stand by today, that the manner of death for Mr. Floyd was, as you would call it, homicide?
Yes, I would still classify it as a homicide today.
Baker did not use the word asphyxia in his official report, but two other medical experts have testified Floyd did indeed die from lack of oxygen.
Raise your hand.
The prosecution today calling forensic pathologist Dr. Lindsay Thomas.
The activities of the law enforcement officers resulted in Mr. Floyd's death, and that specifically those activities were the subdual, the restraint, and the neck compression. He was unable to get enough oxygen in to maintain his body functions.
The doctor convinced.
There's no evidence to suggest he would have died that night, except for the interactions with law enforcement.
And David, we expect the prosecution will call another medical expert to testify and then possibly rest its case by calling up witnesses that personally knew George Floyd and can talk about the kind of person he was. David?
Alex Perez with us all week long. Thank you, Alex. Tonight, the major political headline, new trouble for Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz tonight, already under federal investigation. Now the House Ethics Committee is also investigating its own set of allegations. Here's Mary Bruce.
Already under federal investigation, tonight another probe into embattled Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz. The House Ethics Committee launching a bipartisan investigation, examining allegations of sexual misconduct, illicit drug use, and whether Gaetz shared inappropriate images or videos on the House floor. The Florida Republican is also being investigated by the Justice Department over allegations he had sex with a 17-year-old girl and paid for her travel, possibly breaking sex trafficking laws. Gaetz has denied any wrongdoing and is refusing calls for his resignation.
It is a horrible allegation, and it is a lie.
Today, the congressman hiring a new legal team with ties to his close ally, former President Trump. It comes as ABC News has learned that Gaetz's friend and associate, Joel Greenberg, a local Florida politician, could be cooperating with federal investigators. Sources tell ABC the Justice Department is zeroing in on whether Greenberg and Gaetz paid women who were recruited online cash for sex. Greenberg, who pled not guilty to sex trafficking charges, is now considering taking a plea deal, which could impact the investigation into Gaetz. Greenberg's lawyer, Blunt.
I'm sure Matt Gaetz is not feeling very comfortable today.
Now reacting to this new committee investigation, Gaetz's office says, quote, these allegations are blatantly false. As for what comes next, depending on their findings, the committee could recommend reprimand, censure, or even expulsion, and could make a criminal referral to the Justice Department for its ongoing investigation. David.
All right, Mary Bruce with us on a Friday night. Thank you, Mary. An extraordinary picture from the Southern Caribbean tonight, and mass evacuations now underway, a volcano erupting ash miles into the air. Take a look, the volcano erupting on the island of St. Vincent. Thousands ordered to leave the area, cruise ships standing by, but tonight reports authorities allowing only those vaccinated to head to those ships. Here's Gio Benitez.
Tonight, the monstrous eruption on St. Vincent Island spewing ash into the sky. A pilot reported seeing the plume rising to 25,000 feet.
Those with children at the front, please.
A massive evacuation underway, some 16,000 people. The ash raining down, stopping a high-speed ferry rescue because of the dangerous conditions.
Can't see anything.
Now tonight, four massive cruise ships are standing by offshore, waiting for orders to carry evacuees to neighboring islands. Carnival, Royal Caribbean, and Celebrity sending those ships. Local health officials making the decision to only board evacuees who have already been vaccinated against COVID. Thousands of others staying on land, sent to local hotels in the safe zones as a second smaller eruption is reported tonight.
Now, David, we spoke with one of the cruise lines, and they said they are not making vaccinations mandatory for boarding that boat, but they are leaving that up to local health officials. David.
All right, our transportation correspondent, Gio Benitez. Gio, thank you. And when we come back, tracking severe storms at this hour, possible thunderstorms and potential tornadoes in a moment.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Tonight, severe storms moving across the south, dangerous thunderstorms, damaging winds, large hail, and possible tornadoes from Texas to Louisiana to Mississippi. Moving east overnight, hitting Alabama, Georgia, and Florida on the watch until tomorrow afternoon. A new problem tonight involving Boeing's fleet of 737 MAX jets. American, United, Alaskan, and Southwest Airlines grounding more than 60 planes, this time because of an issue with the electrical system. Boeing says it is working with the airlines and the FAA to fix the issue. Legendary rapper DMX has died. Earl Simmons passing away a week after suffering a heart attack at home. His family tonight calling him a warrior who fought till the very end. DMX was 50. And NASA's historic flight on Mars this Sunday. Ingenuity set to become the first helicopter to fly on another planet. The 4-pound chopper brought to Mars by the NASA rover Perseverance. Set to fly for about 40 seconds, 10 feet above the surface, snapping images while in the air. Finally tonight here, the Queen and her prince.
Wishing long life and happiness to Her Royal Highness and to her fiancé.
He married the future queen in 1947. The tall, handsome prince and the princess who would become queen sooner than either of them ever thought. The wedding, November 20th, 1947. She was 21, he was 26. Elizabeth had told her father, King George VI, that Philip was the only man she could ever love. In 1952, the young couple on a royal trip to Kenya, they had climbed up into a treehouse where they would spend the night. And when she came down the next morning, she was queen. Her father, King George VI, had died, and it was Prince Philip who told his wife. He would be at her side for more than 73 years through all of the challenges faced by the British people and the tests within the royal family, too.
And Prince Philip acknowledged back in 2011, it took a long time to learn to grow into what was expected in his role.
The problem was, of course, was to recognize, if you know, what the niche was and to try and grow into it. And that was by trial and error. And there was no precedent.
So your first duty, first and foremost, to support the Queen?
Yes.
And what does that involve?
Helping her, in supporting her, doing anything that is valuable to her.
And those rare public words shared all day today from the Queen at their 50th anniversary.
She has quite simply been my strength and stay all these years.
And Princess William and Harry, who have so often talked about their love for their grandmother, the Queen, and for their grandfather, Prince Philip.
It must have been quite difficult for him being in the sort of shadows and being the support. But he does it fantastically well. He's never complained.
It's obvious from all of us, and it should be obvious to everybody else that sees it going on, is the fact that without him, you know, she would be slightly lost, I think.
Remembering Prince Philip tonight. Good night.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.